A U.S. role in Yemen. For the last month, Washington's been abuzz with talk about what the United States government should do about Yemen. Should the United States give Yemen more military aid? Should it begin a large-scale economic assistance program? Should it help implement a de-radicalization program or boost special forces training? Yemen's a weak and poor nation, and the United States is a strong and wealthy one. With the right package of assistance, most assume, we can work together on shared goals. The reality is messier. From a Yemeni perspective, the common threats are few. For Yemen's long-serving president, Ali Abdullah Saleh, Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula is a third-order issue. It's far less troubling to him than boiling insurgencies in the north and south of the country, swiftly dwindling oil revenues, a plummeting water table, and massive unemployment. In fact, to many in the leadership, Al-Qaeda's 200 to 300 followers in the country must seem far less a threat than an opportunity. An increased U.S. military commitment to Yemen pumps weapons and training into the country that can be employed against a wide range of threats that have nothing to do with Al-Qaeda. A flood of money creates opportunities not only for contracting, but for graft, corruption, and extortion. This would not be the first time that the government of Yemen has tried to turn hardship into opportunity. Rather than try to tamp out religious radicalism in the country, the government of Yemen has tried to co-opt its leaders and employ them fighting the country's northern rebellion. Yemen has a whole host of problems, and while none of them are insoluble, virtually all of them are insoluble in the short term. U.S. allies, and especially Arab allies from the Gulf Cooperation Council, will have to do much of the lifting here because the United States' instinct in this and other conflicts is to make a difference quickly and move on. There are too many troubled nations and too many emerging challenges for the United States single-mindedly to devote decades to development in any country in the post-Cold War world. The biggest challenge for the United States in Yemen is not doing things, but rather doing things that have the intended effect. The United States has expertise with systems in which merit and logic reign supreme, but that can be a distorting prism through which to view tasks in Yemen. The United States' GCC allies are far better positioned to work Yemeni politics skillfully than the United States. Our Gulf allies understand tribal politics rather than recoil from them, and are equally comfortable coercing and co-opting recalcitrant participants. Second, our GCC allies also have the requisite deep pockets. In December 2009, the United Arab Emirates announced a $650 million aid package to Yemen, and Saudi Arabia has poured untold millions into the country. Neither country's expenditures thus far begin to approach their limits, and it may prove far easier to pry money from their coffers than from a U.S. Congress facing annual deficits in excess of $1 trillion. Third, the GCC states have a legitimacy that the United States lacks. Few in Yemen will accuse them of being Western interlopers or infidels. They are regional actors. Even more, several ruling families in the Emirates trace their tribal origins to Yemen, creating an intimacy that goes back centuries. Finally, and most importantly, the GCC states have a truly enduring shared interest in Yemen, and Yemen has a shared interest in them. In the 1980s, more than a million Yemenis worked in Saudi Arabia, doing grueling work in the oil fields and operating small groceries. Saudi Arabia expelled them when the Yemeni government took a benign view of Saddam Hussein's invasion of Kuwait, and the Yemeni economy has never recovered from the influx of unemployed workers and the massive loss of wages. For years, the GCC states have toyed with the idea of either admitting Yemen to the GCC or giving preference to Yemeni migrant laborers, and this represents a tremendous and enduring incentive for Yemeni action. Should Yemen implode, the GCC states will bear the brunt of the impact. The United States' most important task, then, is to help shape and coordinate the actions of the GCC. There is no single GCC state that can lead this charge successfully. Saudi Arabia, which has massive wealth and shares an extensive border with Yemen, is a necessary partner, but a troublesome one from a Yemeni perspective. The Saudi government has a long history of intervention in Yemen, from supporting armed anti-government insurgents in the 1960s and 1990s to paying healthy tribute in decades past up to the present day. Suspicions run deep on both sides. The UAE has neither the expertise nor the manpower to sustain operations in a country with more than 25 times its native population. Qatar has demonstrated a persistent interest in negotiating truces in Yemen and elsewhere, but the small country does not have the wherewithal to make those agreements stick. Oman is the poorest of the GCC states, but it shares a border with Yemen and worries openly about Yemen's problems spilling over. An effective U.S. role would be a quiet one that helps stoke Arab leadership on this issue, frames problems and responses, and monitors compliance. Agendas will need to be negotiated and deconflicted, and the United States can play a useful role here too. Quiet U.S. meetings with GCC leaders, all of whom have close relationships with the United States, can do a world of good. The United States needs to play a role directing Yemen's unfolding drama, not starring in it. A starring U.S. role would turn this drama toward farce, or even toward tragedy.